The marvelous richness of human experience would lose something of rewarding joy if there were no limitations to overcome. Helen Keller. The past, the present, and the future. These are all things I had a lot of time to think about when I was in the hospital. It took me a few weeks until what was happening to me started to sink in. There was so much activity surrounding me in the hospital that I got caught up in being a patient rather than being myself. I slowly started to understand that I was a quadriplegic. Realizing my situation or owning it would take time. In this new life, I had become used to being dictated to by various physicians. They announced what would be happening to me, and I accepted what I was told because I had no experience or power. I did have family, but they were, of course, as much caught up in the medical process as I was. Owning one's disability goes beyond physiological limitations. The physical challenge begins to dissolve one's identity or self-concept by one unpleasant experience after the other. I knew I had to be fed, turned in my hospital bed every 2 hours, given range of motion treatments, bathed with a sponge, and moved from place to place as needed, depending upon what the next doctor's order was. But certain things really drove my new reality home. They say little things mean a lot. I never realized how often, as humans, we need to scratch an itch. It is constant. I would challenge you to not scratch your next itch and see what it feels like. Don't give in to it. Just sit with the itch. You'll experience for the first time in your life what it feels like to not be able to satisfy the simplest of needs. The itch will become the focal point of your mind and cause you to become agitated. If you've had the misfortune to have a broken arm and a solid cast, you will have experienced a similar unpleasant experience of not being able to reach in and satisfy the itch inside the cast. I also felt and experienced for the first time the sheer gravity and the dead weight of my limp body pressing against the hospital bed or onto the gurney when transferred. Finding myself immobile and at the mercy of staff to safely transport me, I owned the full impact of what quadriplegia was. I didn't know it then, but I was about to experience what it's like to lie flat for months at a time, with only a slight elevation during feeding time. My world had suddenly been constricted. I was now limited to a small hospital room shared with another acutely ill patient. I went from living in my comfortable home in the hills and driving a BMW over the beautiful Santa Cruz Mountains each day to the expansive campus of National Semiconductor's world headquarters to the shocking and unexpected limitations of hospital living. I was like a high-flying bird winging my way forward, then suddenly shot and falling helplessly to the earth. I was lying on the ground, damaged and vulnerable. The situation I was in was worse than being imprisoned. It's one thing to be segregated from others, but quite another to be fractured from yourself. It's another layer of isolation that yields the experiential distinction of mind-body separation. In this state, I was just my thoughts and what was left of my functioning body. It was a time for me to realize that I must pick up what was left of myself and go bravely forward. There was a period of what might be called scab picking. I enjoyed the fantasy of going back in my mind to riding my bike, meeting my buddies to play beach volleyball and other physical activities. Eventually, however, I realized that fantasizing did no good. I was beginning to try to let go of all that, but I couldn't. I was never a jock, but one doesn't have to be one to enjoy normal physical pleasures. I had to start putting physical recollections out of my mind that would be momentarily pleasurable because I would find myself saddened to the point of depression. I was angry and feeling sorry for myself all the time, coming to grips with total vulnerability. During this early critical phase of my disease, right after I'd been transferred to the Ralph K. Davies Rehab Facility at Franklin Hospital, I had an eye-opening encounter with another patient. I don't remember the patient's name, but I learned that he was a dentist. He was gay and had a gay clientele. The AIDS epidemic was running rampant in the gay community in the early 80s in San Francisco. Fear of AIDS was at its height, as there were still so many unanswered questions about how the disease was contracted. At the time, it was called the gay disease. There was a growing resentment of gays that led to isolation and consolidation of the gay community in one area of San Francisco. As part of the AIDS scare, it became hard for gay men to get medical attention, including medical services like dentistry. The gay community stuck together and helped one another.